Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. We are now facing the greatest danger since the Cold War with its nuclear threat, as the swine flu is being hyped in the media and the government is trying to make its vaccination mandatory. Why would they do this, and why would they use an untested vaccine with poisonous preservatives on the public? Pastor John presents two reports from Germany, in which the high command of the German army has decided to use a swine flu vaccine without any preservatives and adjuvants. This is causing uproar among the people because the German health ministry is forcing the population to receive the vaccine with mercury and adjuvants. The swine flu vaccination program is in reality a biological weapon used to attack the people and cause great harm in the years to come. So what are you going to do? Pastor John brings out a biblical response and very convincingly proves that every Christian has a legal right not to be sick because they have been healed by the stripes laid upon Jesus. He lays out 6 points that will guarantee you health and victory by following Jesus' instructions. This is a must-hear sermon as the world situation is sinking into chaos. It is entitled, What About the Swine Flu? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 18th, 2009. And today, I'm going to be sharing a message with you that I believe is going to be very, very important. It's going to be important for you because it will determine your health, how long you're going to live on this planet, and how you're going to exit. I covered your prayers that I will be able to do, give this message calm and concentrated with no interruptions. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I did not select the subject of speaking on the swine flu. But Father God, 2 weeks ago, you spoke to me and said, prepare and speak on this subject. And Father God, I learned one thing, to be obedient. Regardless what people think. And I thank you right now for clarity of my mind, that I will hear the Holy Spirit, that you will minister to me, that Father God, you will use my mouth today to bring out truth that will destroy the lies of the devil. And I thank you greatly now, Father God, for this, in Jesus' name. And those who are great said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to bring a bonus scripture to you. I know we got a very fast operator on the equipment today. It's from the Gospel of John. Chapter 8, and matter of fact, it is not the Gospel of John, chapter 8, but if we go to chapter 6, that's Gospel of chapter John, chapter 6, and I'm looking for the scripture where it says that you are of the devil. 644? 844. I was in the right chapter. Thank you. I want to read the Gospel of John 844. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The last 4 weeks, I have been working on an article for the book, The Truth About the Swine Flu. And as I've been working through that article and building a case, what has happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future, I have come to the conclusion that I will not apologize, but I will say this, that there is not one government in the world today that is not a lying government. We have no true politicians. We have no true leaders in politics. They are all liars. They are purchased, bought, and they are working for the devil. For many years, I've been preaching of the Antichrist system that will someday come into power and affect all people living on the earth. We have always thought that this was something that would happen far into the future. But the naked truth is, it is just around the corner. I believe that people have not understood the gravity of the situation that we are facing today. And let me read from my outline here so I don't get too excited. Swine flu. I'm not going to go into detail about the swine flu or the vaccines, which are being forced upon our people, because we are going to release documentation very shortly that we deal with these issues. But I would like to ask two questions which need answers. How can the health authorities know some 2 years in advance what kind of flu will arrive next? Secondly, how are they able to produce vaccine for an outbreak of a predicted flu? The only logical answer is that someone is creating flu viruses, crossbreeding them, and then releasing them into the general population. We saw evidence of this earlier this year in Mexico when a swine flu suddenly appeared out of nowhere. Why Mexico? Most people do not know that when a vaccine is made, it is loaded with a number of other preservative ingredients, of which the most common is mercury, known as thimerosal. Ask yourself this question now. Every year we have a flu season. And we got the Chinese strain, we got this strain, and we got that strain, and so on. And the pharmaceutical industry is making not millions of dollars, but they are making billions of dollars on the vaccines. Usually, when you have a flu season, it comes in, lasts during the winter on the northern hemisphere, in the summer on the southern hemisphere, and then it's over and we have another one. This swine flu is very strange. It started in Mexico last winter, or actually in the spring, late winter. Went around the world, and then they said, now it is going to come back. How did they know that? And we have been prepared now for the last 6 to 7 months that the swine flu is coming, and you better prepare for it. Then we had horrible news. There will not be enough vaccines. And this is propaganda. This is how you sell a product. make it scarce, make the thing impossible if you face the swine flu. And then this is, well, we got some things in now, so go and get it quickly. Look at the lines that were lined up the last 2-3 weeks of people getting the swine flu vaccine. As I prepare this message, and I'm going to be speaking today from the Bible, but we're going to first talk about how bad it can be and how it is. I run across, matter of fact, it was a friend of mine that sent this to me from, this is about from Germany. Does the German army know something we do not? And I want to read this, and I try to read it slow. In a recent report from Jane Bürgermeister in Austria, we are told that the German Army Command has decided to only use the swine flu vaccine, which contains no preservatives. Here's an excerpt of this report. The German Army announced on Monday, October 12, 2009, that it is planning to give its 250,000 soldiers swine flu jabs. Now, this is English, British English. A swine flu jab simply means a swine flu shot. So you know what I talk about jabs. Without toxic heavy metals and adjuvants, because of growing fears over their safety. Now, some of you might ask, what is an adjuvant? It is simply something being added to the vaccines. According to a report in the Bielefeld Westfalenblatt, that is a newspaper, the German army decided to switch the vaccine without mercury and squalene. And if you go look now underneath there, it says squalene is a natural organic compound and normally made from shark liver oil. It stimulates the immune system and increases the response to the vaccine. So they wanted a vaccine without mercury and squalene. After doctors warned that the GlaxoSmithKline's Pandemrix and Novartis Fositria swine flu jabs with the untested toxins could have incalculable side effects. Baxter, the company caught contaminating 72 kilos or about 140 pounds of vaccine material with a live bird flu virus in Austria in February, so nearly sparking a global bird flu pandemic, has just announced it is putting out the market a swine flu jab called Selvapan, but in a form that is without adjuvants and apparently also without mercury in response to growing protest inside Germany, especially for the federal states. Now, Baxter's Selvapan is also due to be used in a mass swine flu vaccination campaign starting in Austria from October 27th. The German government's Vaccine Advisory Commission was reportedly surprised over the army's decision to use a different vaccine from the one to be given to the rest of the population. The German Health Minister, Ulla Schmidt, who has been pushing the WHO, and WHO means World Health Organization, mandated swine flu jabs with heavy metals and, do I pronounce that word right? Adjuvants. Said a discussion about why the army chose to use different vaccines over safety fears was superfluous during an EU meeting of health ministers in Luxembourg. Let me just stop right here in my reading and talk about the World Health Organization. That's a United Nations organization. And it was the World Health Organization that instituted the smallpox vaccine back in the 80s and 90s in Africa and other places. And wherever they had the vaccine for smallpox, it only took 6 months before you had an AIDS explosion, HIV infection. And Africa has simply been slaughtered. We have tens of millions of people living in Africa with HIV. Many have died. More are dying. It's an epidemic. The vaccines that have been used over the years is actually mass murder. And I'm not backing down from that. And what we are watching now is a worldwide scheme to bring out disease and early death and also the killing of people. I'm back now reading for my outline. The first that has been created today by this cannot be justified by anything, said Schmidt, insisting all the swine flu vaccines are safe. I did my regular workout this week. I don't watch television at home except news programs. Sitting on my exercise bike, I have about 6 monitors in front of me. And I usually try to close my eyes and pray. But for some reason, I looked up at this one program. And I don't know if I pronounced the names right here, but this was Regis Philbin and Kelly Riper. Regis and Kelly program. It's one of these soap opera, no consistency program in the morning. For those that work late nights, you don't have, want to do something before they go to bed. I couldn't believe my eyes. They had this so-called doctor. I did not have any sound. I just saw it. And you know, when they have a doctor on television, they always have a white coat, and they have a little thing hanging around their neck, you know, where they used to listen to the chest, you know, and that makes them a doctor. And now we had Regis. He had a kind of a T-shirt cut off, and they were simply going to vaccinate them on television. And I could see them talking and so on, you know, and standing up, you know, and then finally he said, you know, give it to him, you know, and there he got the shot vaccine right there. And I'm sure they were simply telling the American people this. This is good. This is what you need. We have an advertisement. We have a blitz right now that is absolutely unbelievable. I'm not sure that these people actually got a vaccine. They might just be paid as actors because they just might know better. The growing protests have resulted, however, in Schmidt having to backtrack on plans to give pregnant women the swine flu jab with adjuvants. They says, well, maybe we shouldn't give the pregnant woman this vaccine, huh? The decision by the German army not to give its soldiers the untested, notice now, untested and toxic swine flu jab will raise questions about why other armies, including the U.S. Army, is going ahead with plans to give its soldiers the lethal jab in spite of the growing evidence that these jabs will cause more death, autoimmune diseases. The next day, the following report came in from Europe. And I'll read this. The German army health officials have ignited a fierce debate about the dangers of the swine flu vaccine by announcing on Monday that soldiers are going to be given a completely different swine flu vaccine than the one ordered for the army by the German health ministry. Virologist Alexander Kikuler, head of the Department of Medical Microbiology at Halle University, said that the army had given a slap in the face to the health ministry but had made the only right decision by deciding to give his 250,000 active duty soldier a jab without mercury, without squalene, and also with inactivated virus. Notice in the vaccines now there will also be live active swine flu reduced to a certain degree. Particularly, if I understand it right, those that are giving it through the nose where they just shoot up some liquid. The army doctors and advisors were simply more clever, he said in a German mainstream newspaper, Die Welt. The announcement by the army has increased the pressure on the German health ministry to explain why the rest of the people in the country are expected to take the untested and unproven swine flu jabs with mercury adjuvants, as well as a live virus in a campaign starting on October 26. German Health Minister Olaf Schmidt tried to play down the significance of the army's decision by insisting there were three different swine flu jabs on the market and suggesting the army had just happened to choose the one without mercury and adjuvant. However, it is accurate to say that there were three different manufacturers, Novartis, GSK, and Baxter. And by the way, these companies have tens of thousands of people working for them. Some of them have as much as close to 90,000 people. These are huge corporations. Providing the same standard swine flu jab with mercury and adjuvants on the market to the army or the German health official and doctor insisted on having a jab or a vaccine without the dangerous preservatives and additives. It appears that Baxter, the company compromised by having been caught trying to trigger a bird flu pandemic this February in Austria by contaminating 72 kilos of vaccine material with a live bird flu virus, has been sacrificed by the World Health Organization and the pharmaceutical companies that sit on its key vaccine boards and given a green light to switch over to produce a harmless vaccine without mercury and adjuvants and to save face and also possibly ensure that nanochips widely believed to be in a jab, are implanted into as many people as possible. Now, let me talk about nano chips. I just learned this not too long ago. We have a nanotechnology, which simply means it's very, very small. And you need a microscope really to see it. A microchip, the size of a rice corn or kernel, can be inserted under the skin and it can be read 3 inches from the skin by a scanner. On a microchip, you can put in a lot of information, birth, name, health records, and so on, and a lot of information. On a nanochip, you cannot program that. A microchip sits still under the skin someplace. A nanochip moves in the blood circulation. It moves around. You cannot program that. But what I have done with the nanochips is this. They have pre-programmed them so that if you bring a scanner up to a person, they can tell the vaccine that you have taken and what kind of vaccine you have. Remember now, go back 6 months, China. The Chinese are wary of us in the West. And they should be, because we are pretty nasty people. And you remember there was a group of Americans different, and they quarantined them. There was no question. They put them up in a hotel, and they sat there for 2-3 weeks, couldn't get out, and then they shipped them back home again. The plan is this. At airports, bus terminals, and other places, there will be scanners. And when you go through that scanner, and you have nanochips in you, there's no light. But you walk through that without the nanochips, and the bells and lights go off, and you will have a health official coming down and say, "Well, you haven't got the swine flu shot, have you? Well, we're going to have to stop you. You can't go." There might be checkpoints on the roads. That's why the nanochips is the beginning of a tracking method that's going to be used by the Antichrist system down the road. Because not only will they be able, they cannot read that close from a microchip, but they can simply have a great control when you go through these different checkpoints. Let me go on there. The army's unexpected decision is fueling uneasiness about the mass swine flu vaccination campaign due to start in Germany on October 26th. Theodor Windhorst, the president of the Chamber of the Doctors of Westfalen-Lippe, has said that the swine flu jab is associated with significant risks. The number of leading doctors calling for swine flu jabs without adjuvants to be given to women and children has been steadily growing. Pregnant women, children and healthcare workers are among the target groups selected by the German health minister, Olaf Schmidt, for the instruction of the World Health Organization to be among the first to get the swine flu jab, even though there is no clinical data on the adjuvant squalene in pregnant women or children. Under growing pressure, Reverend Schmidt this week said that pregnant women will now be advised to take the jab without the adjuvant squalene, which is to be added at the last moment to form a toxic mix. Squalene is illegal in the U.S. and the U.K., that's the United Kingdom. And there's evidence it caused the Gulf War syndrome, which afflicted 25% of the U.S. and U.K. soldiers who took the anthrax vaccine. Even through that vaccine had 1 million times less squalene than the swine flu jab. German health officials said it was not clear how the swine flu jab would interact with other vaccines German soldiers have to take, especially those sent on overseas mission, and also what impact of the accumulation of toxic heavy metals might be. "We are not something better, but something different," said an army spokesperson. However, there are growing numbers of people in Germany wondering why they are expected to take a swine flu jab by the health ministry that is considered too dangerous for the army. The decision by the German army to abandon the swine flu jab also raises the question of why are the country's army leadership not open to feedback on the jab's dangers and willing to assess new information and correct their vaccination programs. The U.S. and the U.K. Army already have a large body of evidence that the anthrax vaccine caused significant autoimmune disease in its soldiers, and yet these armies appear to be pushing ahead with its campaign to force every soldier to take the dangerous jab. Men that served in the Gulf War in the 90s and also later not only got sick themselves, but when they had children, they have a higher risk and numbers of deformed babies. And I talked to someone some time back, and he says, "Well, you know, my wife is just going to have a baby." And she said, "I don't want to take the risk of having an autistic child." Now I want to ask you this question, and I really want you to think about this. Most of you are parents, have been parents, are parents. Some of you are thinking about might become parents. If you have a child and is born autistic, you know that for the rest of your life, you're having a person that will be handicapped. It will change the family dynamics when you have a person that is not mentally there. Should we allow governments to bring out vaccines in different areas where autism now is exploding among us? Alzheimer's. They are predicting that with the baby boomers coming into age, Alzheimer's is going to explode. It's going to destroy the healthcare industry because it's going to cost too much money. Where does it come from? I believe it comes from mercury, vaccines, bad food. And we're having all kind of difficulties. How many pastors do you find in the United States or Canada or Europe that will stand up and take on the government and say, this is a moral issue? Very few. I even believe that some churches are going to have people being able to be vaccinated in the church itself. Let me read on here. The decision by the top-level U.S. military to implement the mass vaccination campaign of U.S. soldiers at bases at top speed will fuel fears that the U.S. Army in particular has been taken over by agents working for the banking elite who control the World Health Organization, United Nations, and who appear to be actively attempting to destroy the U.S. Army in order to pave the way for the occupation of America by U.N. soldiers and foreign mercenary troops in a new world order. We got to understand this, that when we have a new world order, they cannot leave America alone. Americans will not put up with that. American troops cannot be trusted. And if you have not known this, for the last 50 years, we have every month tens of thousands of foreign troops in America training at our military bases. We even have had Ukrainian troops, Soviet troops, German troops, Spanish troops, Scandinavian troops. They've all been here. And they have their weapons and equipment set. If there's going to be, when there's going to be a world government, we will have foreign troops in this nation. If you think about it, let's talk about the Russian Revolution. When the communists or the Bolsheviks came into Russia, there was 90,000 terrorists that came in. 90,000 outsiders were brought into Russia. As soon as they had taken power, what did they do? Every Russian military officer executed. Every policeman in all the hamlets and cities, all were killed. All public school teachers murdered. Every mayor, every local politician, the entire leadership of Russia was murdered in less than 2 years. When you have a revolution of that kind, they will not trust the highway patrol anymore, or the sheriff's department, or the police departments, or the National Guard, or the U.S. regular forces. There will be a mass killing. How convenient to have a vaccine in 2009 that will make people sick. They might not all die. They might not have a lot of people dying right now. But give it 5, 10, 15 years, and you have all kind of mass death of these different diseases coming up as the immune system has been destroyed. You as army leaders who have raised questions about the mismanaged campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq, triggered by the false flag 9/11 attack, have been silenced or forced to resign, leaving the military top heavy with government. Yes, man. Let's look upon Afghanistan right now. It's right now very hot. Is it right that we have sent thousands of troops to Afghanistan and we send them up every day? They are sent out on search and destroy missions while the Obama administration is debating, should we continue the war? Should we send more soldiers or not? Well, we can't make up our mind. And every day there are casualties over there. Is that fair to American young people to be sent into harm's way while the politicians debate if we should continue this war or not? It's criminal. If Obama cannot make up his mind, actually not him, but his handlers, they ought to tell the American troops over there, cease operations, sit on your bases until we make up our mind what to do. The decision by the German army to refuse the swine flu jab is a significant blow to the plans of the World Health Organization and the United Nations to carry through a synchronized and swift mass vaccination campaign across the U.S. and the EU, European Union, using bioweapons. The vaccine is a bioweapon. Under the cover of vaccine to accomplish the objective of depopulation and conquest. Let me ask you this question. Let's talk about crank. Amphetamine. Have you ever thought about this? You go up and down California. Look upon men and women age 30 to 50. Look upon how many wrecks do you know of people that have been on crank for a number of years. Bodies a skeleton. Brains are burned out. And they're walking zombies. A whole generation was poisoned by this drug. It's a chemical drug put out by the CIA and pushed out to destroy our young people. The next step will require the army and police, having done its job, to be destroyed in turn by disease or by igniting fresh wars. There's been speculation that soldiers and police might be given a vaccine with a disease that can be triggered by chemicals in water or some other means, allowing the disease to be activated at some pre-planned point later on. Let me just point this out to you and understand that. 1945. The United States, England, had defeated Germany together with Russia. In Western Germany, they had 1 million German soldiers in a huge camp. No buildings, just huge fields would have 1 million German soldiers. A book had been written, Germany, Our Problem. And this was written by an administrator in the United States. And the order was given to the American army, have this 1 million killed. For the next month, American soldiers surrounded it. No water came in. No food came in. German civilians tried to throw food over. They were shot. The United States Army killed 1 million German soldiers after the war was over through starvation. Do we read about that here? There's a book called Other Losses, documented by both Germans and Americans. There were many more atrocities. The American government is led by people outside the United States. We haven't had a real president since Abraham Lincoln. They've all been puppets. The danger now facing the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and the Bankster cartel is that other armies will refuse the swine flu jab, and that civilian population will follow suit and demand a proper investigation of the swine flu scam, a move that will surely result in large numbers of arrests. Without a significant culling, and by the way, culling is an old English word, it means to kill. Without a significant culling or killing of the population, and the installation of a comprehensive electronic surveillance system using nanochips, the World Health Organization, UN cartel, will find it difficult to maintain control over a synchronized and coordinated program to depopulate the world and set up a one-world government with the calculated use of economic collapse, war, and famine as establishment of a totalitarian state to crush opposition and shut down the internet. Think about it. A year and a half ago, our economy crashed. We have 10 million Americans today out of work. They say the economy is coming back. It's hogwash. We're suffering. Right now, the United States population, we are squeezed. The whole world is squeezed with this economic collapse, which is man-made. Let me just read my clarification. HWO is the acronym for the World Health Organization, a United Nations UN department. What is a nanochip? We've all heard about the microchip, which is used to tag animals, newborn babies, upon the request of the parents. A nanochip is extremely small and cannot be used in the same capacity as a microchip. But by inserting nanochips in the vaccines, the person can later be tracked at airports or checkpoints if they have taken the vaccine and what kind it was. I have shared now openly with you what I believe is happening in the world today. And now we're going to have a biblical response to the swine flu. Some people might want to criticize me afterwards and say, you don't know what you're talking about. But I believe this with what I have studied over the years, that I believe that right now and continuing, there will be swine flu released at airports, bus terminals, ball games, movie theaters. It's going to be sprayed out in the air. And then they're going to push for the vaccine. We're going to have a pandemic all right. I'm in the same boat as you are. I'm just another human being. But now, it's a time to rise and begin to say we now have to move into the supernatural. We cannot survive in the flesh. And I want you to take you right now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to pick it up, in verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the mighty nations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. For the weapons we have are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you haven't had faith up to now, you're going to have some problems. If you don't have faith to believe that God can keep you well, if you don't have faith for your finances, if you don't have faith for life in generality, you will have a very difficult time as we come into this. I have been to hospitals many times. I've gone into rooms where people have been contaminated. They had to put me on all kind of garments on, you know, and head mask and so on. And I've never been afraid. Because I always said this, the moment a germ lands on my skin or virus, they will die of the Holy Ghost. But I have practiced that for many years now. As human beings, we are fighting sickness in the form of a flu and a wicked government that is trying to control the population by infecting them with harmful materials, which will lead to an early death. Trying to fight in the flesh will not work. It has to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw a miracle a number of years ago. I was told about it. And this is a full gospel businessman when they were in the heydays. There was a man that had lost his eyesight. And he had a glass eye. I don't know what they did with the other side. And this man was prayed for. And he got his eyesight through his glass eye. They could not explain how this glass eye sitting in there with optic nerve, everything else destroyed, the man suddenly was seeing, he was able to read and shout and do things. God simply healed him but left the glass eye in there to tell people this, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm not limited. We need now some miracles and some great miracles. This leads me to ask now if we have a spiritual legal ground to stand on when it comes to sickness. Do I have a legal right to stand on? Can sickness be avoided? Did Jesus do anything for us in this area? And the answer is yes. Yes. And I will prove it through three different Bible references. You have it in your outline. The first one, Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This was written 700 years before Christ. He, Jesus, is despised and rejected of man. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, have ye hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The future tense in this Hebrew text is in the future we are healed. I see us said by his stripes, in the future we will be healed. And when people in the old covenant claimed this, they also had a healing. Now look to Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He didn't give her an aspirin or two. He didn't say, poor you. He walked over to that woman. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When evil was come, they brought to him many who were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word. He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You find it now, Matthew, simply saying, why did Jesus do this? Because Isaiah prophesied, himself took our infirmities, and you were healed. If you haven't believed in the Bible before, you're in trouble. If you don't believe in the Bible, you have nothing to stand upon. And then, in 1 Peter 2 through 24, we read this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, look upon this next statement there. You have a legal right not to be sick. I have a legal right. I don't have to be sick. I'm going to die healthy. There is no place in the Bible where it says that you have to have cancer, arthritis, stroke, heart attacks in order to die. Moses was not sick when he died. Elijah was not sick when he died. Number one of people not sick. You, as a believer in Christ, have a legal right to be healthy. Claim that now. Go through these verses. I have a legal right to be well because of Jesus. As a minister of the gospel, I'm in the same boat that you're in. I have no more power than anyone else. It is coming down to do or die. Let us share with you what we as a minister plan to do as we face the same dangers as you do. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. You know, the sad thing is there's always some things you have to do in order to be able to have the victory. But they're not hard to do. They're easy. Number one, we are going to make sure that we do not have any bitterness or unforgiveness in our hearts. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. After this manner therefore pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is the number one key. Hear me now. God will not tolerate unforgiveness. He said, I will not tolerate that. You will not need to think back deeply. Is there anyone we have not forgiven? And then ask yourself this. Have you forgiven yourself? Why is it hard to forgive? I tell you why. Pride. I'm right. Those lousy bumps were wrong. I'm never going to apologize. I'm never going to forgive them. They were wrong. Pride. People might be wrong. They might have wronged you. Jesus is not asking to hang out with them. He's not asking you to walk and be buddy-buddy with them. He simply said, forgive them and forget them. If you have people in your life that you have not forgiven, I can tell you this. When you have breakfast, they're having breakfast with you. When you have your lunch there, they're at the lunch table. And when you have your dinner there, they're at the dinner table. And whenever you talk, they're always with you. That's torment. Most people do not even know that you haven't forgiven them. They don't even know that you're angry with them. We have to forgive. Forgive. And then turn to Hebrews 11:6. Is it easy? No. But it's necessary. Let go. We're going to have to stand on the scripture that states that you must come to God in faith. Matthew 6. Not Matthew 6. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me give you a test right now. If someone come up to you today after the service and said, do you plan to get the swine flu? And you says, well, I don't want to. I'll be working hard not to. But how many of you would simply say, I am not? That's faith. Now, if you're going to walk out there today, you see, and says, well, you know, yeah, Jesus said, you know, by his stripes, the Bible said, by his stripes, I'm healed, you know, I have this or that, you know, but I'm not too sure if God loves me. And that will apply to my life. You're not protected. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that you are saved? I remember when I was asked that question a few weeks into my new life in Christ. Someone came up and said, Brother John, are you saved? I said, well, I don't know, but I'm working on it. I'm working hard. Praise God for a pastor that set me down and said, shut up, sit down, and we're going to teach you something. You're either saved or you're not. A woman is either pregnant or she's not. You have to stand on a scripture. If you don't have faith, this is when you're going to have to say, God, I need faith. Work in me. And faith comes by hearing him by the word of God. You're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to have the swine flu or not? A lot of people are going to have it. Are you going to be able to walk into a supermarket? And by the way, those masks they are going to try to sell you, they are so porous that the viruses just fly right through it. It's just cosmetic. Make you feel good. Another way to make money. Point number three. The joy of the Lord is a strength. Turn to Philippians. Philippians. If you want to land in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. If you pick it up in verse 4 and on. Rejoice in the Lord at times. When do you rejoice? When your spouse just pile a bunch of stuff over you and scream at the top of his lung and he's just as angry as H. That's the time to say, praise the Lord. And your spouse might say, what are you going to praise the Lord for? I'm going to praise God despite of you. You praise the Lord when you lose your job. You praise the Lord at all times. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's important that we are praising God. There's going to be people harassing you and you're going to have all kind of things. We always have that garbage. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. The bitterness is gone. Unforgiveness is gone. We stand on faith. And we are beginning now to rejoice in the Lord. And turn unto Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. To those of you that might not have the faith, you refuse to forgive, and you're not going to be too joyous, we will visit you in the hospital and pray you out of it. We're not scared, but you don't have to go there. I want you to be on our team to go and pray for the sick. Don't be among the sick. Be among the healthy. In Mark 16:15, we read this. I'm in Matthew. The one that doesn't fit. Mark. I totally get it too excited here today. Mark 16:15. And Jesus said to them, if Jesus said something, God, you're going to believe it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you realize, beloved congregation here, that we are fulfilling that word right now? Because at this very moment, we are going all over the world. Live. Your giving, your prayer made that possible. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow the clergy. And these signs shall follow Benny Hinn. This is what it says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You and me. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Have you ever cast out any demons? We try to train people here, and all the people say, well, I don't like that ministry. I don't want to get involved in that. Or, you know, I'm not clean myself. I'm not ready to give up my demons. I don't want to be part of it. But look at this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's exciting. It's so exciting, I didn't get one amen on it. Hello? Are you guys getting bored? We need to get excited. I got excited the first time I cast out demons. Because I realized the power that God worked through me. I got excited over the first time I prayed for the sick and they got well. That's something to get excited about. But now you see, here's what we're facing now. It is not only that we're going to pray for other people, but all of us here and around the world, we are going to be dusted with swine flu viruses. We're going to have it. We're going to get it in our faces. You're going to breathe it. But if you believe, it will die when it enters you. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. What did Jesus do? He didn't confirm the disciples. He confirmed the word. You take the word and you speak the word and God will simply honor the word. You and I don't have to be worried about ourselves. Our reputation is dead anyway. We don't have a reputation. God does. And then point number five, we will continue with a healthy diet, taking our vitamins, supplements, making sure that we get enough sleep, doing our regular exercising, and trying not to get stressed out. We need to also do things for our bodies. And then back to Philippians. Back to Philippians. And we're going to land in chapter 4, verse number 13. 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's read that together. Read with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's nothing I can do through Christ. Not stupid things like trying to jump down from the second floor to show you that I can do that. But I believe that if we had a fire here and it was just engulfing the stairs, were blocked, the elevator was blocked, we could all jump out and we would land very nicely on the asphalt and not even be hurt. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We will proclaim that the Holy Ghost is stronger than any virus or any poison, and through Christ we will overcome. Do you understand that what I'm sharing openly today is not very popular with people in leadership? There will be a discussion about me this coming week. Matter of fact, there'll be a meeting Monday where there'll be an assessment made to see how much damage did we do to the world government. But here's the good news. As long as God wants you and me here, they cannot touch us. We have testament of people that's going to be executed. They're going to be shot. And the bullets were deflected and the guns wouldn't work. God is our source. Let me read my last statement here now. It's not my last, but that statement. Are we planning on taking a regular flu vaccine? I'm not. Matter of fact, I tell you what. I have never in my life taken any flu vaccine at all. And you know what else? I never had the flu either. Had a few colds back there and a few things, but I never really had the flu, to my knowledge. Are we going to take this swine flu vaccine? I'm not. You know, in the 1980s, they had a test drill on the swine flu. Some of you older ones might remember that. And I think they had 16,000 people, so they died on the vaccine itself. And the swine flu really never took off. And I remember that time, I said, well, that's stupid. What should I take that for? I didn't get the swine flu then. I'm not going to get it now. You know why? You and I have been vaccinated by the Holy Ghost. And the fire is burning in our bones. Now, if you're a backslidden Christian, you got no protection. If you're in a backslidden condition, the Holy Ghost cannot protect you because Satan has a legal right to afflict you. But if you walk and talk with him, we have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be praising God, give him all the glory and praise that we can muster. I believe that the majority of this church is going to come out just fine. You heard what I said? I believe that the majority of this church will come out fine. But we will have a few oddballs here and there that do not read their Bibles, that do not have the faith, that are not sure that God loves them, and they will not forgive. I guess God wants us to practice on you, to lay hands on the sick and pray for you. Look at these points again there. And I'm happy to speak to many people outside this audience right now. Listen to what I'm sharing with you. Be sure to forgive. Stand in faith. Rejoice in the Lord. Believe God's word as we find in Mark 16. Take care of your body. And through Christ, you can do all things. I believe I got a word to Patty right now. You know who you are. And it is simple this. You might not have a thyroid. You might be like the man that has a glass eye. And God healed that man he saw through the glass eye. You might never get another thyroid, but God is healing you and you don't need one. Don't doubt. Begin to praise the Lord. Take the things that you have taken. And walk away in health. God will minister to us. You know, this swine flu and all this stuff, there's no surprise in heaven. I mean, God knew that before he started creation. Let me just take it while this while as we wrap this up. When God was going to deal with Jacob, his sons, and Joseph, he had to create a situation. So, Joseph was sent to Egypt. Once God established Joseph in Egypt, God put on a little famine, forced Jacob and his other sons to come down to Egypt. Why? So that God could show his power. What did Joseph say at the end to his brothers? He said this, "You did not send me down here. God did. Do not fear. I'm here to help you and others." You and I have a Joseph ministry. We are in a crisis right now around us. But we have the Holy Ghost in us. We got power. And God is simply saying this, don't sweat it. Stand on these things that I shared with you and go and be strong in the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have an ear to hear with? I ask it every week. Some of you here are not too sure about this. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life at the salvation, but how you finish it. We're going to have a special invitation that the Lord showed that to me. And I want the musicians to get themselves ready. I'm going to have the elders here. And I want deaconess. And the Holy Spirit is saying this. Most of you never usually get out of your seat to be prayed for. But this is the time for you to get out of your seat and make a public declaration. In the name of Jesus, I'm coming down to proclaim I am not going to have the swine flu. I'm going to declare that I'm going to be walking with God. And pray with me right now. If there's any unforgiveness in me, and minister to me. And I believe that God is going to do a mighty work here. If you're watching us right now, you simply say, "Well, I can do, how can I do that?" You stand where you are. You stand up. Begin with Dad, Mom, children, wherever you are there, and begin to stand up and proclaim in the name of Jesus, "I am not going to have this swine flu. In the name of Jesus, I'm giving away all unforgiveness. I'm going to forgive and forget." I'm going to pray for you in advance. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. That not only here in this congregation, Lord, but Father God, in all types of parts of the world right now, people will stand up and the Holy Ghost is going to fall upon them in their homes, regardless of where they're at, as people are simply stepping up and saying, "I believe, I believe." Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for ministering to us right now. And I praise you greatly now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars have opened. You come. And elders and deacons, if you need afterwards, you go to one another. And you want to be prayed for.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, What About the Swine Flu? Pastor John recounted how the high command of the German army has decided to use a swine flu vaccine without any preservatives and adjuvants. And this is causing uproar among the people because the German health ministry is forcing the population to receive the vaccine with mercury and adjuvants. The swine flu vaccination program is in reality a biological weapon used to attack the people and cause great harm in the years to come. Pastor John brought out a biblical response and very convincingly proved that every Christian has a legal right not to be sick because they have been healed by the stripes laid upon Jesus. He laid out 6 points that guarantee you health and victory as you follow Jesus' instructions. As Pastor John said, we are not planning on taking any vaccine because we have been vaccinated by the Holy Ghost. Is the same true for you? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1208. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.